All right, let's continue on. What do we do when we're adults? How do we overcome strongholds, some of them going back to our childhood? Well, let's see the progression of what God does. Let's come to Romans, the second chapter. The first thing that God does is let you wallow in your sins and you become miserable. And things go wrong. And you finally say, God, help me. Now, at that point, God will begin to deal in your life. Okay? Now, for those who are not called to salvation, they have to come to the point that they know that they need to change their behavior and do things in what we would call the letter of the law. And when they make that change, that is a repentance, but not a repentance unto salvation. Okay? So, Romans 2 then tells us, after Romans 1 lists all the sins, you just, verse 26, Romans 1 to verse 32, list out all the evil, all the things that Satan perpetuates and perpetrates and generation after generation. And there is a progressive degeneration from one generation to another. And as that happens, lawlessness becomes the law of the land. And that's where we are today. Lawlessness becomes the law of the land. And so they institutionalize sin. When you institutionalize sin, the whole society gets on the slippery slope of destruction. Everything starts to come apart. That's exactly where we are in America today. We are going down the slide of degeneration and corruption to destruction. The United Kingdom is about halfway down that slide right now. We're quickly following. However, out of that, and out of every society, regardless of the degree of sin, God calls people. And how does he do it? All right? Romans 2. Now, before we read Romans 2, Jesus said, many are called, few are chosen. The few who are chosen are those who respond to God. So now we're going to talk about how to overcome the sin within for those of us who are converted and in the church for whatever length of time. So let's go back and see that God convicted us of all these sins. And here's what he did. Chapter 2, verse 1. We begin to see the things going on around us. Therefore, you are without excuse, O man, looking at everything there at the last part of chapter 1. Everyone who judges another, for in that in which you judge the other, you are condemning your own self, for you who judge another are doing the same things. Do you see that it's wrong? You want to get out from it. You see the problems that are happening. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth upon those who commit such things. All the above listed. Now, do you think yourself, O man, whoever is judging those who commit such things, and you are practicing them yourself, that you shall escape the judgment of God? That's why, never compare yourself among yourself, because as we will see, those who do so are not wise. Now, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the graciousness of God leads you to repentance? So God has to lead you to repentance. How does he do that? John 6:44, the Spirit draws. So go back over the sermon, the Holy Spirit and the seven spirits of God. God draws. And every one of us can look back at that time when God began the process. I can. You can, etc. Then we begin to understand that we need to quit sinning. And we find that sin is the transgression of the law. And we need to amend our behavior. And God leads us to repentance, which is not only an acknowledging that sin is a transgression of the law, but it is also a very emotional thing that you go through too. Because God leads you to understand that the only way out of your circumstances is that you throw yourself unconditionally upon His mercy. And then follows baptism. Now let's come to Galatians, the fifth chapter. We're going to see some things that tell us how to overcome the strongholds, and we will get more specific as we go along here and what we need to do. Okay? Galatians 5 and verse 17. No, verse 16. Now this I say, walk by the Spirit. You need the Spirit of God to overcome. That's why we have the series, How to Use God's Spirit. And that comes through prayer. That comes through study. That comes through realizing and understanding that you have to yield your whole being to God. See? Not just that part of your mind that you want to get rid of the evil, but your whole being. Commitment to God. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just like we discussed before, where Job said that he did not lust after beautiful women because he made a covenant with his eyes. He made the determination not to let that happen to him. So when you are baptized and receive the Spirit of God, you have made a covenant with God. He has given you His Spirit, the begettal, which is a start. Okay? You have yet to grow in grace and knowledge and overcome and begin resisting evil and changing. Now here's what you find, verse 17. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. The pulls of the flesh are there. Okay? Many different aspects of it. Lying, swearing, cheating, we'll read all of them here in just a minute, okay? And the Spirit against the flesh, because now you have something happening because you have the Spirit of God, which is this. Before conversion, doing all of these things, you had no conviction of conscience, right and wrong. Now, with the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of His Word, now God's Spirit brings to your attention the sinful thoughts that are going on in your mind. Now, that is God's Spirit bringing it up so you can repent and get it cleansed from your mind. Okay? So you have this inner battle. This is what Paul wrote about in Romans 7, the law of sin and death. He wanted to do good, but when he did good, he got so far in doing good, and then something happened. He probably lost his temper, or he got mad, or he was terrible in his behavior, whatever it may be, even converted. And he said, I don't desire to do it, but I do. Okay, that's a stronghold. Now we'll see how he said to overcome it here in just a little bit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These things are opposed to each other so that you cannot do the things you wish to do. Just another way of summarizing Romans 7. Now then, here are the things that people have been brought out of and the sins in their lives, okay, called the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness. See, now that follows almost parallel with what Jesus said. He said, evil thoughts. Okay, and that's what we need to overcome. That way these other things will not progress. Okay? Adultery, fornication, and sex sins are the major problems of human beings. Period. Aren't they? Yes, indeed. And lead to all kinds of problems, especially when children come around. So this is why this evil society in order to restrain evil, must perpetuate more evil by saying, we'll provide abortion service for you. We will provide contraception for you. Go ahead and be as licentious as you want, but don't burden us down with these unwanted children because we don't have the tax money to pay for them. Okay? Now, that's when things really get out of hand. That's why when they took God out of the schools, they took Bibles out of the schools, they took prayer out of the schools, they took morality out of the schools, and by the license of the state taught evil to, as Rush Limbaugh says, the skulls full of mush, okay? And taught them that evil was good and good was evil. That's where the society is. Now, we have to live in this society. So we feel very much like Lot. What did it say about Lot? He was frustrated every day with the conduct of those in Sodom. Okay? Now, licentiousness, verse 20, idolatry. Now, the idolatry that we fight is not an idol in our house, but the idolatry we fight are the idols in our minds. Our thoughts, our ideas, our greatness, God had to call me because I'm so good. Phooey. I've heard people even say that, see? Okay? Never fails. They end up with a great trial to realize God called them because they were sinners. Okay? Okay. Now, here, come. Just hold your place there. We'll be back, see? Because once you have idols in your mind, maybe it can be music, it can be whatever, it can be another person. Do you have stalkers? Yes, stalkers have an idol of this person in their mind. They've got to have this person. Got to have it. They're obsessed. A fixation. A stronghold. See, now that's an extreme. Come back here to Ezekiel 14. And we will see God wants us to get rid of these things. Now, as we read this, this will help us understand the lame excuse that the Catholics have when you point out that they worship idols. Oh, no, we just venerate them. Well, God says, don't make them. How did they get in there? See? All right. But here's the idolatry we need to overcome right here. Because what does self-idolatry do? Okay? And what happens with every one of these improve yourself programs to tell yourself how good you are? See? What does it do? It builds your own self up as an idol in your mind. All right? Ezekiel 14, verse 1. And some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I at all be inquired by them? See? You're coming to a holy, righteous God. No man, as we had a discussion earlier, is going to command God or tell him what to do. No human thought of inculcating sin into your relationship with God because it's a good idea. Oh, let's have a cross. Oh, let's have a cross with Jesus on it. Oh, let's have, oh, well, the Virgin Mary, she made it into heaven. Well, all these other saints made it into heaven. Let's have it, let's see, all of those things, add-ons, all of that idolatry. Or a person would say, well, you know, I'm so important, I have so much money, yeah, I don't need God. Watch out. See? In your mind, therefore, speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel, that means anyone, who sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols. Okay? Now, I suppose in counseling people, this would be, you know, after you've gotten so far, a good place to begin. Say, all right, now why don't you write down all the idols you have in your mind? Okay? And then read verse 5, because verse 5 is going to tell you you're at a crossroad. You have a choice. What are you going to do? Now you know the truth. All right? Verse 5. So that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they have deserted me for their idols, all of them. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent. See, repentance is not just repent and be baptized. Repentance is a daily thing. Because as we go in our walk with God, God reveals to us more and more of the hidden sin deep within that he wants us to repent of. See, why? Because he is preparing us for eternal life. All right? Repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Okay? Notice what happens. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger who lives in Israel who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to a prophet and asks of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. Now, I don't know what that involves, but I do know in the case of Israel and the Jews, how did God answer them because they didn't repent? He removed them from the land and took everything they had away from them, correct? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, furthermore, if you persist in it, God says this. So you lay it before the person and say, how about this? Do you want this? Verse 8. And I will set my face against that man and will make him for a sign and a proverb. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Okay? So you got your life full of problems and sins? You better come to God. And you also have to understand that since you've done it, and it's ingrained in you, and you have lived by it, and you have nourished it, you have loved it, and now the penalty is coming upon you and you begin to hate it, that you have a whole lot to overcome. Now, God will help you. God will be there. But you're going to have to understand, it's a day-by-day process to overcome the strongholds because they are there with a grip on your mind and you need to have it changed. Okay, come back here to Galatians 5 now. All right? So you might start saying, okay, what has my fullest attention most of the time? What activity? Is it God? Is it his word? Is it how to live? Or do you poke your head into church on the Sabbath and now you've done your duty to God, and when you poke your head back out in the world, you're back out there in the world again, see? Now that's what happens with most modern Christianity. With those that have the Spirit of God and are in the Church of God, it's a full-time activity overcoming. And things can come upon us in this world today. They could never come upon them living out in the country and taking care of the animals, you know, and like David was out there shepherding the sheep. I mean, no television, no smartphone, no media. You get out there, sit under the tree and watch all the sheep. You can pray to God. You can have a leisurely time. You can strum on your harp. You know, you can sing praises to God. You can watch the animals, take care of them. Have a little excitement, drive away the lion, drive away the bear. You know, you better be strong and up to that. Have your sword, have your spear, or today have your gun, whatever it may be. Okay? Life is totally different. Go shopping. What do you walk into? Stop and ask yourself, when I go shopping at the supermarket, how many things are there to grab my attention, to stir up my lust. Yes, the whole store. Yes. All right. Now back to Galatians 5. All right. Okay. Galatians 5, verse 19, we'll read it again. Because if you were addicted to television and soap operas, you better find where the off switch is on your television. All right? Because what we're going to read, now let's read the works of the flesh in view as to what comes into our homes, invited because we turned the switch on, okay? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, strifes, jealousies, indignations, contentions, divisions, sexts, that means splits and divisions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and of such things as these, concerning which I am now telling you beforehand, even as I have also said in the past, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right. What we need to do is limit that kind of exposure through media devices that we have today. Sometimes you can't avoid it except to make your mind up to not let those things grab your attention. Now, 99.9% of all of the magazines displayed in supermarkets are right at the entrance to the checkout stand. And why do you suppose that they are there? Okay. Now, men will lust after it because the male mind is gauged that it appreciates and lusts after a beautiful female body. Okay? But that is secondary. The primary is for the women, through jealousy and envy, wanting to be like the image of the woman on the cover of the magazine. Is that not true? Okay. All right. So you have that. You've got all the advertisements. You have all of the products. You have the music. You have the squalling brats. You have the in some cases, the teenagers that are dressed in an unfit manner for civilized human beings. Okay? Isn't that true? You go out into the world and you've got to fight this music wherever you go. And I tell you what, young people, see, because how are they educated into accepting this? We already talked about it. Starts out with cartoons and, you know, babysitting with Walt Disney. Okay? All of those things. So we have a greater battle today. We really, really do. Okay? Now let's see what we are to do with it. Let's come to 2 Corinthians 10. Okay? Here's what we are to do. Now it is a battle. And it is a full-time proposition. See? Think about it. Never before in the history of the world were there devices which with the push of the finger you can turn on various media devices and you can have hundreds of sins per day parade through your house. Is that true? Yes, indeed. I mean, just do a channel surf if you don't believe it. And
don't
you
turn it on.
Don't turn it on. Yeah. Now, we're just talking about regular TV. We're not talking about online pornography, online gambling, online solicitation. We're not talking about that, but that is absolutely crazy and evil. much more than we would understand. So sometimes you need to view some of these things from the point of view like Brian Williams on CNBC, where they do the entrapment against men looking for sexual exposés with teenagers. See? Now you know why the politicians want to lower the age of consent. Mm-hmm. See? The way you make crime go away is you change the law. The way you make crime go away by God's way is you cease doing the activity. See? And especially with young people, if they say, well, it's not against the law, then you better let them know whose law are you talking about. See? Yes. All right. Yeah, okay. Okay. Now, also in the mix in this is that they have changed the meaning of words. See? And that's how Satan works incrementally, so that things that are sin do not become sin in the law of the land, but it's still sin against God. All right. Now, no, Bible does not give a chronological age. Sin is sin. And even the proverb says that the child is known by his works, whether they are good or whether they are evil. Yeah, they've had trouble with the 7 and 8 year olds in school, and they've had trouble with teachers in school. Oh, why don't you come by my house this afternoon and I'll show you some really good things in sex personally. Right? Yes. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10. Now, here is the key. Let's begin in verse 3. For although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. See? Because if you war according to the flesh, and we are in a spiritual warfare, you can only accomplish so much. That is self-discipline to a point. Self-discipline cannot conquer lust. It takes the Holy Spirit of God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the overthrowing of strongholds. And this is what we're talking about. The deep sin within that must be cleansed. And it is a process. And especially today, it's something that must be done, yea, every day. Because it's there. Okay? Mighty through God to the overthrowing of strongholds. So, if you have things in your mind that are strongholds, list them down. Take them before God. Pray about it. Ask God to help you overcome it. Ask God to help you get rid of it. And he will. And I'll show you the key thing. You will know what it is because we've covered it before. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. No. Verse 5, beginning again. Correction. Bonnie, correct that. Now notice verse 5. Casting down vain imaginations. See? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, a little sin is all right. God will understand. And what do they teach in the cartoons? Well, they have Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse, and up on one shoulder is another Donald Duck that's evil and another one to Donald Duck that is good, and arguing back and forth, should I do this or that, see? Okay. This is what we do in our minds, see? Anything that goes against the laws and commandments and love of God is exalting itself against God, is an idol in the mind, is a stronghold that needs to be gotten rid of, and that's the process of conversion, all right? And bringing into captivity every thought. You must control your mind with the Spirit of God. So something comes along, grab hold of it, bring it before God and have it eliminated. Let me just give you an example. If you think you don't have faith, don't say, oh, I ought to have faith. Do a deep word study on faith and prayer and let that get rid of any doubt that you may have. See, that's how you do it. You grab hold of it, you cast it down right in front of you, you examine it with the Word of God, and you eliminate it with the Holy Spirit of God and ask God to cleanse your heart and mind. Now, you may have to go repent to someone else. You may have to ask forgiveness for something that you have done. You need to do that too. Okay? And bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Now, it doesn't say most thoughts, some thoughts, evil thoughts, every thought. See? And having a readiness to avenge all disobedience of the imagination of the mind whenever your obedience has been fulfilled. Okay? Now, how do you do that? That's the next question. Let's come to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 23. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, I'm not focusing on husband and wife relationships here. I'm focusing on Christ's relationship with us who are part of the body of Christ. He's the head of the church, okay? And he is the Savior of the body, okay? For even as the church is subject to Christ, in the same way let wives, in the same way also let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your own wives in the same way that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now this shows the effort that we need to have. We must put forth the effort. God must grant us his Spirit, and we must exercise ourselves and our minds unto righteousness and casting down vain imaginations. Verse 26, so that he might sanctify it. Now notice, he might, showing it's a process. See? Sanctify means to be made holy. That's what God is doing with us, having cleansed it. And that's what we want. Be cleansed from every sin. Be cleansed from every disobedience. Be cleansed from every evil thought. And the truth is, getting rid of these thoughts is a progressive thing which will last until our very last breath in the flesh. And then, at the resurrection, it is all gone. But that's the fight we have to have now, between now and then, everyone, okay? That he might cleanse it with the washing of the water. Now, that's the Holy Spirit, okay? By the word. And what have we heard all of our lives in the church? Prayer and study. Prayer and study. Let the Holy Spirit of God wash us and cleanse us with his word. Replace what is in our minds with the word of God. Replace what is in our minds and conduct with the conduct from God. Okay? Now, let's come back to Galatians 5 and see what we are to exercise ourselves to. Galatians 5. Now we've seen the fruits of the flesh. Now let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. See? And what you need to do, which I will cover when I go down south, is how then we exercise the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. There are four aspects of love. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, wondering why you have these evil thoughts, wondering what you need to do about it, take action. Get on your knees. Open the Bible. Study what you need to do. Ask God to help you. Ask Him to give you His strength, see? Four aspects of love: loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. Now, that's a full-time activity, isn't it? And God will strengthen you and cleanse you in this, see? Joy. You're getting rid of sin. And inner joy. That doesn't mean you're running around laughing and praising God and, you know, running around in circles, waving your arms in the air. No, this is a joy within. Peace. You have peace with God. You're not warring against Him. You have peace with your husband and wife. You're not fighting with them. You have peace with your neighbors, the best you can do. You have peace with the brethren. Long-suffering, because there are going to be things you're going to have to suffer. So, suffer them. Ask God to help you learn the lesson from it. Kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now notice what he says here, because this becomes important. But those who are Christ's have crucified, correction, but those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. You take all of those things that we have mentioned here, and you give it a spiritual crucifixion. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, we should also be walking by the Spirit. We should not become vainglorious, provoking one another and envying one another. Okay. Oh, one is, you must, if you're living by the Spirit, that is God's Spirit in you, and your actions in walking the way of God should be reflecting the spiritual motivation within. So that's why it says, be walking by the Spirit. Okay?
With the Spirit within, huh?
Yep. Okay. Well, we'll end it there, and I'll continue down south, and we'll expand on how to overcome. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.